The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So about a month ago, we were talking with Pastor Jennifer to see when would be a good time for me to come and worship with y'all and preach with y'all, and she said that June 25th would be the ideal time. And it wasn't until later that day when I looked up what the text for today would be that I thought, oh yeah, I can see why you'd want someone else to come and give the sermon this day. Now, of course, Pastor Jennifer didn't invite me here today because these are difficult texts here today, but it is a difficult text. We hear Jesus saying some pretty challenging things today, things that sound kind of scary and pretty intense, things we aren't accustomed to hearing Jesus say. And then we follow it up by saying, this is the gospel of our Lord. This is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but when I read that part of me wants to say, are you sure? Are you sure that this is really good news? Because that doesn't sound all that good to me. It sounds like a lot of division and violence and even death. How is it that this is a message of good news? And to answer that question, we need to start by taking a step back and looking at where we are in this gospel story and what is going on and what the context of what Jesus is saying is. A while back, Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, his big teaching time in Matthew's gospel, where he goes all into what it means to be a disciple, what being a disciple looks like. And since then, he's been traveling around with his disciples and showing them what being a disciple looks like. Showing them what walking this kingdom path, walking this path of Jesus looks like. And so he's been cleansing lepers and healing people and casting out demons and restoring people into community. And now the time has come for the disciples to go out and start doing some of these things themselves. So at the beginning of chapter 10, Jesus begins sending out the 12 disciples to go and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near and to do the work of welcoming in this kingdom that they've seen Jesus doing. And so he explains a lot about what that's going to look like and what they're going to do and how this is going to work. And then in today's verses, he starts to explain what some of the implications of this work are going to be. And it doesn't sound all that great. Jesus tells his disciples that if they're going to be in the kingdom-bringing business, then they're going to not always going to have things easy. If they're going to be in the truth-telling game, then they shouldn't expect people to always love what they hear. People don't always love to hear the truth. The truth doesn't always sound like good news. And so oftentimes this truth-bringing, this kingdom-bringing work is met with hostility. The truth doesn't always unite people. The gospel being proclaimed can be divisive, and it creates adversity. This is what Jesus means when he said, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Jesus isn't saying that his way is a way of violence. We know that's not how Jesus works. Later in this gospel, Jesus will tell Peter to put away his sword, for those who draw the sword will die by the sword. Jesus isn't talking about his way being one of violence. Rather, he's saying that this ministry that he does, this ministry that he's sending his disciples to do, is divisive. It will cause and create division. And remember, at the time this gospel is being written, this division is a very real and painful thing that these disciples were experiencing. When Jesus talks about turning son against father and daughter against mother, these aren't hypothetical things. These were very real things that were happening to families at this time. These Jews were converting to Christianity. They were joining this new Christ movement. And so you can imagine what that was doing to family units. Jewish families were suddenly, the children are saying they're not Jewish anymore. Families are being destroyed as children turned from the religion of their parents and parents forsook their children. This is something that still holds true today. I'm sure lots of people know someone who has experienced or maybe experienced themselves the kind of division that cuts through a family over issues of religion. And so really this stuff that Jesus is saying, this isn't Jesus just preaching doom and gloom or Jesus making threats. Rather, Jesus is honestly naming a reality. Jesus isn't going to sugarcoat it for us. Following Jesus can and will have consequences. Walking the way of Christ is not an easy stroll through the park. Rather, there is a cost to discipleship. Living this way and doing these things and welcoming in the kingdom of God will create opposition and difficulty. And so about now, you might be thinking, okay, so where's this good news then that we were promised? None of this sounds too good so far. Where's the good news? But brothers and sisters, there is good news. For at every turn in this text, every honest naming of hardship that Jesus says, there's also a word of hope and wholeness. In the midst of these words and the cost of discipleship, Jesus tells us not once, not twice, but three times, do not be afraid. The proper response to these difficulties is not fear. The proper response is not to cease extending towards others and instead turn in on ourselves and recoil to safety. No, the proper response is not fear. Jesus says three times, do not be afraid. And why is it that we need not fear? It's because we have a God who loves us, a God who cares deeply about all that God has created. Sparrows are a dime a dozen, and yet even they are cared for and valued by God. And so how much more does God value us? How much more does God care for and love us, we who are created in God's image? So yes, being a disciple can be difficult, and our work of proclaiming the gospel will not always be well received, and it may be more likely to cause divisions than to unite. But just because our families may become divided does not mean that we'll be left without a family. For our God who loves us has already fashioned us into one family, the body of Christ. Jesus makes this abundantly clear later in this gospel where people will come to him and say, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. And he'll say, here are my mother and my brothers. Here, the gathered people, his followers, this is Jesus' family. And this is our family. In the waters of our baptism, God has united us into one family, into one primary relationship. We now relate to each other, not as strangers who are meeting for the first time, but brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the family of God, and we cannot ever be otherwise. We cannot be alone or without family because our God and God's unending love has formed us in this unbreakable family. And so, gathered in this family, strengthened by these waters and this meal, we are able to do the hard work of discipleship without fear. We are able to take up our cross and follow Jesus no matter the difficulties, which is to say we will serve the least, we will care for the meek and the persecuted, we will follow in the example of our Lord Jesus and name difficult truths. We will name the realities of racism and sexism that exist in our culture. We will dedicate ourselves to their undoing. We will welcome the stranger and give thanks for those who are different from us. We will not let fear tempt us to retreat into safety, but instead will live in vulnerable love that extends us towards our neighbor. This is what it means to take up our cross. This is what it means to follow Christ. And so we are called to take these words that have been whispered and proclaim them from the housetops, to tell them and embody them in the light, to proclaim in word and deed that we have a God who deeply loves us and intimately knows us, a God who has gathered us into one family, one body of Christ, a God who has empowered us to go boldly forth and serve, and a God who took on our flesh to live with us and experience life as we do, who took up his cross and willingly gave his life that we may have eternal life. And this is certainly very good news. Amen.